Hello, and welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Here you can find all of our weekly messages. We trust that God will speak to you today. Enjoy the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. I want to welcome all those that are watching online, all those that are joining us at a later time via our YouTube channel or at all of our locations. Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to be. Verse 6 is what we're going to read. I just love Jesus, and I love the Bible so much, and I love preaching. And then we're going to see preaching in action by seeing a story of someone whose life has been changed through the power of the good news and has decided to take their next step through water baptism. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. For a child is born to us. Who is the child born to? To us. Come on. A son is given to us. Aren't you grateful for Jesus? When God planned Jesus to be the Redeemer, he did not forget about you. This includes you. The gospel message includes you. The government will rest on his shoulders. Now more than ever do we need the government to rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One more time, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. At all of our locations, let's say it together, those four attributes of God. 1, 2, 3. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One more time like you mean it. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, if we need a counselor this week because of the family drama that we are facing, may you be our wonderful counselor. Lord, if we are facing a moment of weakness this week, may you be our mighty God. If we are facing the lack of a father here on earth, may you be our everlasting father. And if there is chaos, confusion, conflict, if there's dysfunction in our life and in our world, may you be our Prince of Peace. We thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, our Savior, to be born. We celebrate all year long, but we take a moment today to zoom in to the beautiful, beautiful picture of what it means to send us a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to share with you today why Jesus was born. Why Jesus was born. If you're taking notes today, you can write that down as the title of today's message. Why was Jesus born? Why was Jesus born? And you know, at Christmas time, it can get very complicated. People can start to make a bigger deal out of small deals. Have you ever noticed this? At my house, our house is like open for business during the Christmas season. We got family, we got friends, we got staff, we got parties, we got pastors, we got people all coming over. And man, it could get really complicated. How many chairs do we need? You ever had this problem before? It's like, okay, on Friday night, we had our staff Christmas party. And I had this amazing idea to give steaks to all the hardworking employees. Okay, now what I did not have the foresight for is the fact that not everyone likes their steak cooked the same way. There are some people who they're still working on their salvation. As a matter of fact, they can't even say amen right now because they're still chewing the steak from Friday night. I didn't realize how complicated it was going to be. I brought in someone from the church that loves to cook, and I said, would you come and cook for our staff this Friday night? I'll buy the steaks. You bring your grill. I didn't realize how, for me, it's simple. You kill the cow, you put it on a plate. That's how I like it. I found out that we had a vegetarian in our midst. Come on, somebody. I won't call them out today because they're right here in the room, but love them so much. It got complicated. So then Pastor Ed at the South location, shout out Pastor Ed, he was going around like a waiter. He's like, okay, how would you like your steak? Medium, medium rare? And they were like, well done. And we were like, get out of this house. It's complicated, right? It's complicated. Needless to say, everybody got their steak and we had a good time. But we have the incredible ability to make simple things complex during the Christmas season? Did I get them the right gift? Is the Amazon guy going to show up in time? Did I pay for the expedited shipping or not? And you get really worried about if you're going to impress this person or not. Is the house clean enough? Is the house ready? Do the kids look good enough? I asked the first lady, Pastor Ashton, I said, can we bring the whole family up for the candlelight moment? She said, they are not even close to being dressed for being on the stage today. It's complicated. It gets complicated. And you know, Christmas used to be one day, but some of you have been listening to Christmas music since Halloween. Like, you threw the pumpkins out at midnight of the 31st, and you put in your Christmas tree on November 1st. You know what I'm talking about? Christmas used to just be one day. Now it's a whole season. And we even sing a song about Christmas being 12 days long. Have you heard this song before? It's called The 12 Days of Christmas. It's 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping. That sounds illegal. 10 ladies dancing. No, thank you. 9 lords a-leaping. We only have one Lord. His name is Jesus. 8 maids a-milking. 7 swans a-swimming, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and I don't even know what that is. How have we taken something so simple and made it so complex? I was reading up on this song in PNC, the bank, they did a financial analysis of how much all of these ingredients might cost. So they took addition to 14 drummers, 11 pipers, 10 ladies, 9 lords, 8 maids, 7 swans, 4 birds, 3 hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. And the total cost, if you were to try to get the 12 days of Christmas, like contract all of it out and purchase it, it would be $34,558. We tend to make that which is very simple, very complex. And we take the most simple and make it so complex, but God takes the most complex and makes it so simple. God has the ability not only to create the cosmos and the wonders of the universe and to be majestic and mysterious and to know how many hairs you have on your head and to fashion you together in your mother's womb, but he also has a way to redeem humanity through one thing, and that's through his son. So why was Jesus born? I'm so grateful that you asked. You asked good questions. Jesus was born, reason number one, to erase misconceptions about God. Jesus was born to erase misconceptions about God. Before Jesus, God was more mysterious. People didn't know if they were living the right way, walking the right way, so they would have to bring animals and goats and doves and pigeons, and they would have to go to the priest and go through protocol and process and system and structure, and they would follow commandments and the law that is lengthy found in the Old Testament. But when Jesus comes, he was born to erase the misconceptions about God. This is good news for you and I, because you didn't have to stop at the store on your way to church today to bring a sacrifice, because Jesus made it clear, I am the lamb that was slain. I am the ultimate sacrifice. No longer do you need to cut open bulls or goats. Now I have been, the theological term is propitiation. The payment for our sin has been paid. He is another theological term, atoning sacrifice, meaning he has paid in full our debts that we owe to God. Thank God Jesus was born, because if not, you would be indebted to him. It says in 1 John 1:16-18, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Come on, we've received, and what we have received is grace. For the law was given through Moses, that's an Old Testament reference, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, and he has declared him. Aren't you grateful you didn't have to come to church and obey a bunch of law, but instead you can come and say whatever misconceptions you had about God before you got here, they get dismantled and distributed through the love of God through his Son, Christ Jesus. This is good news for you and I. that any misconception we have about God can now be seen through the lens of Jesus Christ. This is good news because some people, you've been hurt by Christians, but you've never been hurt by Christ. So your view of God must no longer be taken from Christians who hurt you at your last church or a pastor that disappointed you a long time ago. But instead, my view of God comes through Jesus. Why was Jesus born? Jesus was born after 400 years of silence, after a long time between the Old Testament and New Testament. He was born to shatter the misconceptions that people in those days had about God. They thought God was full of wrath and anger and mad and angry. And although his wrath still exists, Jesus came in the form of love to satisfy the law and to be grace and truth. You don't have to put on a certain garment anymore. Because Jesus was born. You don't have to say a certain chant anymore because Jesus was born. You don't have to wait on the outside of the temple gates and allow me to go inside on your behalf anymore because the veil was torn once Jesus was born. Oh, this is good news for us today. We no longer have to play games. We no longer have to go through the process or the protocol. We no longer have to assume that our sin, though it disqualifies us temporarily, his grace is made available immediately to you. No system, no protocol, no process, no chant, nothing, nothing. He is not mad at you today. If he was mad at you, Jesus wouldn't have been born. He wants to be close to your pain. If he didn't want redemption towards you, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. He is interested in a relationship with you. So this Christmas, let's not get our view from God from our aunt's Facebook post. Y'all got that aunt, or is it just me? It's like not enough for it to just be Jesus in the memes that she shares. Donald Trump is always hugging an American flag in the background. I'm like, let's not get our view from God, from weird stuff. Let's get our view of God through Jesus. Let us get our view of God through a holy Christ instead of through human Christians. Many people have been offended by people. You're not offended by God. I want you to know today, God loves you so much, and Jesus was born to erase the misconceptions about God. Number two, Jesus was born to express the love of God. How much does God love you? Can we put it on a scale? How much? Sent his only son to die on a cross for us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. How much does God love you? God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. That's a loving God. That is a loving God. I love what it says in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, meaning how can we measure this thing? What is the width, length, depth, and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge? You can't even know the full extent of the love of God. You could study every book in the library. You could have more degrees than a thermometer. But here's the deal. You cannot know how much God loves you to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God did not send a third party to rectify the situation that presented a gap between us and him. God did not go to the Hallmark store and find the best card he could find and send you a card that says, I love you so much. Merry Christmas. I hope you figure this thing out. God did not call his wife's sister and say, what do you think she wants for Christmas? There was no third party involved. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He did not send a gift in the mail. He was the gift. He is salvation. He is the lamb that was slain, the sacrifice. He was God incarnate, and that's what expresses his love towards us. How much does he love you? He loves you so much. I know that you might not feel his love right now, but that doesn't negate the fact that he loves you right now. My love towards God, my love towards God. I try to out love God, but I can't. He just loves me so much. Even when I was dead in my sins, Christ died for me. His love for me is absolutely incredible. There is no greater love than this. There is no greater than love than this. He loves us. St. Augustine says this. He says, he loves us as though there were one of us. Oh, I'm so grateful that Jesus actually came to earth to express the love of God. Some of you haven't grown up with much love, and I want to let you know there is a God who sent his son, Emmanuel, God with us, to dwell among us, to put on flesh so that we could experience what it means to have the love of God. My past is forgiven. I have a purpose for living. And my future home is in heaven. White boy got bars this morning. My past is forgiven. I have a purpose for living. And my home is in heaven. It's important that you know that you don't have to strive to get God's attention. Have you ever had a parenting flaw? Maybe it's just me, where your kids are calling for you, but the TikTok you're watching is just so good. Come on, somebody. Am I going to be the only one that confesses my sins before the people? Dad, 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 dad. I feel like I'm doing something important. My kids are calling my name. I remember when they were little, I can't remember which one. It was probably Harmony. I don't know which kid it was. I was just distracted, probably typing my sermon, theological discourse, working hard on these messages. You know, they're so profound and deep, shaping the city, changing the city, changing the world. I'm just, smoke's coming from the keyboard, you know. Dad, 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 dad. Finally, she moves the laptop out of the way and she grabs my cheeks. She says, "Dad, watch this." It was like a cartwheel or something. This is beautiful. Here's the thing about God's love for you. You never have to repeat yourself. You'll never have to repeat yourself twice in the presence of a loving, affectionate, almighty God. Because before you were even born, he loved you so much that he sent his son in the beginning, 2,000 years ago, before you were ever born. He fashioned you together in your mother's womb. He has the hairs on your head numbered. And he loves you so much that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is no height, no depth, there's no demon, no angel. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, because Jesus was born. He closed the gap that existed between us and God. There is no longer space. You no longer have to call on him multiple times. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not the second time, not the third time, not the fourth time, but the first time you say Jesus, demons have to flee. The first time you say Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. You don't have to get his attention. You already have his affection. I am preaching this morning. Jesus was born to express the love of God. Merry Christmas to all of you who are here for the first time. My face is as red as the graphic on the screen. Hallelujah. Jesus was born to erase misconceptions about God. For those of you who have a misconception about God, I pray that the love of God through Jesus would come down, and your doubt and your questions, although they're valid, I pray that they would be erased through Jesus. All right, number three, piano player can return. We're gonna preach a sermon and then we're gonna experience, witness a sermon through the baptismal tank. And I trust that you will take those next steps as well. Number one, Jesus was born to erase misconceptions about God. Jesus was born to express the love of God. And the third and final E, it always has to have the same letter. It's alliteration. It's in my bones. I'm so sorry. I can't help myself. Jesus was born to enable a relationship with God. He was born to erase misconceptions. He was born to express love. And then he was born to enable relationship with God. God was far off until Jesus was born. The reason you are alive is because God wants a relationship with you. Do you know why you exist? You don't exist to have a successful career, even though those things are great. You don't exist to have a great marriage, even though those things are great. You don't exist to build up generational wealth, even though all that is fine. You exist to be in relationship with God. And the reason you are allowed to be in relationship with God is because Christ was born. You don't get to God unless you go through the Son. All the other religions will try to tell you otherwise, but I will tell you, there is only one way to the Father, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is our way to relationship with God. Imagine this. We don't have to have a relationship with an idol or with a chant or go to a certain place or a specific area or a geographical radius where we think God might have existed. Instead, Christ came, died for all of us, and tore the veil, dismantled all limited access to God, and gave us unlimited access to the presence of an almighty God. That's why the book of Hebrews says to come boldly before the throne room of God. I no longer have to cower or hesitate when I come before God. I could say, thank you for Jesus, and I belong to your family, and I could come boldly. My kids do not knock. Do your kids not knock? My kids don't knock when they come into the house. Wouldn't that be weird? Wouldn't it be strange if your kids, Tony, if your kids had to ring the doorbell? Dad, let me in. No. Stay outside. No. The door became permanently unlocked when Christ hung on the cross and the veil was torn. There was a veil in the temple, and the Bible says that the earth shook and the veil was torn. And when the veil was torn, you and I and all of us, both Jew and Gentile, were granted access into the presence of an almighty God. When before we could not have relationship with God, Jesus, his birth, makes that relationship possible. This is good news today. I'm not trying to complicate it. I'm trying to simplify it today. Why was Jesus born? Jesus was born to erase misconceptions. Jesus was born to erase, to express the love of God. And Jesus was born to enable a relationship with God. 1 John 4:7-10 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. I love this church because we love each other. I've seen people, they miss church just to talk in the lobby. Sinners. Like, where were you at today? Oh, I was in the lobby. Come on now. Talk afterwards. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. I want to know God. I want to know God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Everyone lives forever somewhere. He sent Jesus so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Real love is not sliding into the DMs. Come on, somebody. Real love is not texting good morning every morning, not missing a day. Real love is not swiping right or swiping left. Real love is not roses. Real love isn't a cruise on your 10th anniversary. Real love. This is real love. Not that we love God. Your love for God actually isn't even real love. But that he loved us. Whew. We can't give real love. We only know how to receive real love. And sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Aren't you grateful that Jesus erases the misconceptions we have about God, that Jesus expresses the love of God in human flesh, and that finally we are able to be in relationship with God? I didn't have to bring anything to the altar today except for a living sacrifice. See, his birth made a way for our rebirth. Now that Jesus has been born, I too can be born again. Only because of Christmas can I be saved. I cannot be saved unless Jesus is born, because Jesus is the bridge between me and the gap that is presented between me and God. Without Christmas, you're not saved. Without Jesus, you're not saved. Without his birth, he cannot die. and without his death, he cannot be risen again. So in order to die, you have to first be born. In order to raise from the dead, you have to die. So I'm so grateful that Jesus did all of the heavy lifting, took all of my sin, all of my shame, all the stuff that weighed me down, all of the stuff that was hard on me, all of the weight of the world. And on the cross, while he's dying, while we put him on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So in the middle of us still acting a fool, in the middle of us still in our dysfunction and in our sin, even in the middle of our mess, he gives us an opportunity to be joined to the Father. He gives us an opportunity to be forgiven. And there's a thief next to him, and he says, remember me. Right. Hanging on the cross, there's a thief to his side, and he says, remember me. When you enter into your kingdom, remember me when you go to paradise. He says, surely. This man never attended a Bible study. He never was a member at a church. He never spoke in tongues a day in his life. He didn't know what the Old Testament or the New Testament was. He had no idea what was available to him. But as soon as he confessed that Jesus was Lord, access was made available to him. He didn't even have a chance. I'm so grateful for Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, you say, Pastor Mike, that's me. That's me. I want a chance. I want a chance to be saved. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And after I give you this opportunity, we're going to watch the story of a life that's been changed already. But I want to give you a chance right now at every location to be bold and say, you know what? I am far from God. I do need the love of God. I do need the Son of God. I do need Christmas. I don't need gifts. I don't need presents. I need his presence in my life. If that's you today at all of our locations with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. And all I want you to do is just shoot your hand up in the air. And I just want you to, when I say three, I want you to say, I need God. I need God. I need his Son. And I need his Holy Spirit. If that's you today, you want to surrender to the Lordship of God. Raising your hand doesn't make you saved, but it memorializes this moment where you start to commit your life for Christ. And I believe that if you start today, your journey will go in the way God wills it. But if you're living on your own, if you're far off, distant from God, just know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth, was born, died, and was risen again so that you and I might have access to the love of God. If you want access to the love of God and you've never been saved before, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to shoot your hand up in the air boldly. Say, I need God today. Today is my day of salvation. And forever in the history, this will be your day that you remembered where you turned your life around. You repented of your sins and you gave Christ lordship over your life. If that is you today at all of our locations, you might be nervous right now. Don't be nervous. Many around you have already made this decision, so you will not be alone. One, you say, Pastor Mike, you don't know my story. I came in here with a bunch of mess in my life. It does not matter. There is nothing that our God cannot do. There is nothing that could separate you from the love of God. Number two, God came to express his love through Jesus. If you do not have Jesus in your heart today, today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of salvation. Get ready to raise your hand right now at all of our locations. One, two, three. Just shoot your hand up in the air right now. You say, I need Jesus. Shoot it up high. Shoot it up high. Shoot it up high. Someone wants to bring you a card, so you gotta shoot it up high enough so that they can see it. If you're not shooting it up high enough, then we can't get it to you. Anybody, shoot your hand up high at all of our locations. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord. For the sake of those who just raised their hand, those watching online, those at one of our locations, I want us all, even the believers, to pray this prayer together as a first prayer that we will pray together. Say this. Say, Father God. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, Father God, thank you for Jesus, for sending him to die for my sins. I repent and surrender to your lordship today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's clap our hands for God's word. I want you to take a minute as you consider what it means to be water baptized at my friend Michael's story from this morning. Take a look.
As long as I can remember, I've always been in church. My mom's also a pastor. and she has gone through her own difficulties, but my family suffered a lot. Going back to 9/11, my father was one of the survivors there, and that I feel like changed the trajectory of my whole family. He never came back the same. I don't know what a happy family looks like. The only happy families I seen was on television, you know, sitcoms and all that. But growing up, moving back to Pennsylvania in my like young adult life, you know, I strayed away from Jesus, you know, I strayed away from God, made some bad decisions throughout my childhood and my youth. I was battling like a self-identity, you know, I was becoming a product of my environment. Made a lot of bad choices, but I always felt God's presence. The year 2021, I was ready to take my life. I let the enemy take control of my mind. I was battling with this ego, with this pride that I was holding on to that I thought I needed or wanted in life. He removed me from that place, that dark place, and I was unable to hear him. And then these 2 years has passed, and to me it has been more fulfilling. I've been the best father figure to my son that I have in the past 3 years, best partner to my fiance, soon to be wife. And that's all because I decided to follow the Lord, you know, follow his footsteps. So I chose to forgive myself, number one. You know, talking about Jesus, he died for our sins. The one thing that I had trouble with is owning up to my mistakes. I've forgiven myself for what I've done and letting Jesus in my heart, letting that burden and that grudge, I don't have to look back anymore, you know, feel accountable for my mistakes because I know he has me covered. I'm not the person that I was before 4 years ago. You can ask anybody who knew me. I'm not that same Michael anymore. And that's all glory to God. That voice that was in my head, the enemy who, you know, pretends to be your friend, who pretends to be, you know, that one thing you want more in life, you know, it was a distraction. After God had removed me from that environment that had me bondages and had me trapped, had me doubting myself, which gave me anxiety, depression. When he came in my darkest time, he silenced the crowd and I was able to hear him.
Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
Amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up for Michael right now. He is about to make a huge step in his life. Michael, we are so proud of you. And I'm so glad that you didn't give up on yourself. And I'm so glad that you forgave yourself. God has already forgiven you. So it is my honor, it's my privilege, brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Redeemed me. So if you're going through a situation in your life right now where you're thinking twice or whether or not you should, you know, make room for him, I encourage you to accept Jesus in your life.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of many people like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now and share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.